You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen.
Your face fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid. Fill me with you. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face. Fill up this space. My world needs you.
Let us pray. Speak to our hearts and minds. Let us hear your word. Speak through me, and as Pastor Chris says, if need be, in spite of me. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers and sisters, the world needs you right now. Jesus said, be salt and light. The plea in the video is a cry for Christ's presence. The video is a powerful confirmation that our world needs Jesus, and needs Jesus now. Jesus said to his disciples and to you, be salt and light. This morning, the text comes from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew writes that prior to his sermon, Jesus was baptized. He was tempted in the desert. He preached in Galilee. He called his disciples and he healed the sick. And he momentarily pushed pause, stepped away from the crowd, went up to the mountainside, and I imagine took a breath and a moment. Then he sat down and taught his disciples. He taught them how to live in the world and be in relationship to God. He taught them how to live in the world and be in relationship with each other. His teaching was and is today bold and practical, and leads to the very heart of discipleship. The response to the cry for the presence of Christ in our world is found in you and me. Jesus lives and breathes through the power of the Holy Spirit in those who believe. A professed, saved, and sanctified saint, a believer, a disciple of Christ, within whom dwells the Holy Spirit, is Christ present on this earth. We are Christ present. We're Christ present, one to another with skin on, 24/7, boots on the ground. Now, from where I come from, which is a military perspective, this is a charge. This is an order. Being salt and light is not a negotiation. It is not a suggestion. Disciples come from different countries, different denominations, even different faith groups. We are diverse in shape, size, stature, color, gender, age, and color. Some of us are type A personalities that turn the world around. And then others are laid back Bs. We may have no hair, some hair, long hair, short hair, brown hair, gray hair, red hair, blue hair, black hair, purple hair. We may have blue eyes, brown eyes, gray eyes, hazel eyes. We may be from different socioeconomic and educational backgrounds. We have different abilities, skills, traits, likes and dislikes. We have different wounds. We need different kind of healing. We may be disabled, married or single, with or without children, gay, straight, transgender, queer, and gender nonconforming, but we are all related, the same brown-skinned Palestinian Jew. The Message Bible translates the text this way. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt and light. Salt seasoning that brings out God's flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Salt is an important ingredient. As proven today, doesn't matter how old we are, salt is important for some people. Some say there is no ingredient more important in the kitchen than salt. Salt is a preservative and serves as a catalyst when combined with other ingredients for cleaning and deodorizing. There are many different types of salt, and they are as diverse as tribes and nations. Just look at the choices and the varieties and the textures and the colors and the beauty found in salt. The website Wide Open Eats published an article by Zach Hansen. Zach writes, "In the kitchen, there's no ingredient more important than salt. Aside from being one of the five basic tastes, salty, sweet, bitter, and sour, and umami, and for those of you who don't know what it is, because I did not know what it was, it references glutamate and monosodium glutamate, and in Japanese translates as deliciousness." Salt has properties that release food molecules into the air, giving food an aroma, an integral part of taste. If you've ever eaten your favorite food while suffering from a cold, you'll know just how important smell is. That's why the different types of salt are important to distinguish between. Salt comes from different places around the world. It does remind me of every people, tribe, and nation. Salt also highlights and suppresses the different flavors we perceive in our food. In small amounts, salt curbs bitterness, but enhances sweet and sour and deliciousness. It gives sweet and sour dishes a more two-dimensional taste. At higher concentrations, it reduces sweetness and again enhances deliciousness, making it perfect for savory and meat dishes. Are you ready to go to lunch? The bottom line is, salt tastes good. Jesus knew this. Jesus wants us to be salty, diverse, and flavorful. We are not all the same. So if you need permission to be salty, here it is. He calls you to be flavorful. Jesus uses this example to emphasize the purpose and the importance of being a disciple, and that our diversity and uniqueness is needed in the church, and it matters. You matter. You matter. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have value, worth, and purpose, and your saltiness is a key component to who you are and how God uses you in this life and in this church. People know you by your saltiness, by your texture. Look at those salts before you. There's texture, and there's grain, and there's color. Nadia Bolz-Weber, an ordained pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, says, The rough and jagged edges of our humanity are what connect us to God and to one another. Those wounds and failures, misconceptions and mistakes, those are the very things that create enough texture on us that God and our fellow human beings have something to grab onto. Living in this world and living in America right now, being a Christian on the journey called discipleship is not easy. It is full of challenges. Some days we succeed and other days we fail. However, we don't quit. Jesus taught the disciples and is teaching us now how to be in relationship with God and with each other. No one is perfect. It's a living and learning day by day, inch by inch process. Ministers and pastors have their fair share of tests. We are certainly not perfect, and most of us are flavorful. It's true. Pastor Nadia Boltz Weber says, and you got to follow me on this one. She says, I get what can only be described as road rage when I'm stuck behind someone walking slowly in a prayer labyrinth. She says, I'm like, look, no one is impressed about how into this you are. Speed up, man. There are people trying to pray behind you. Inevitably, we all have our growing edges. Sometimes our saltiness takes us on a detour. Thank God that Jesus painted with a skilled intention the picture of God's grace. The world needs you. This church needs you. We need you now. Jesus said, be salt and light. The Message Bible translates the remainder of the text this way. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bring out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill, if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. This generous God in heaven. I believe Jesus is saying, I'm empowering you. Now shine. Light comes to us in two forms. And as we proceed, before you think I've lost my mind, give me a little grace and some latitude. The two forms are natural and artificial. We experience daily the natural light from the sun, moon, stars, and even over the last few weeks, lightning. We also encounter the artificial light coming from man-made products such as incandescent and incandescent lighting, light bulbs, lamps, LEDs, to name a few. There are three basic types of lighting. There's ambient, accent, and tech. Ambient is used to provide even overall lighting to a room. Accent is used to provide different focal points. Task is used when performing special tasks. Which one are you? Which type reflects your personality or your dominant tendency? You are either right-handed, left-handed, and some of you are ambidextrous. Which is your lighting preference? We use all types, but I propose we have a preference that parallels our personality. For example, there are various methods of light disbursement. Do you go to a party, walk in the room and announce, "I'm here, the party can start"? If it's not you, I'm sure you know somebody who does. All of us radiate light differently, whether we are direct, indirect, semi-indirect, or diffused. Have you ever met a person who, whenever they are in the room, it seems brighter and people tend to gravitate to them? How do you radiate the light within you? Be salt and light. You and I bring out the God colors in the world. We also reveal just how bright or not our light is. You are the light of Christ present in this world. Look to your neighbor, and I'm serious. Look to your neighbor and say, "You are the light of Christ. You are the light of Christ." Amen. I receive it. Your light is meant to shine brightly. You know, I want the light in me to be so bright that it shows up before I get there. I want people to say, "She's on her way. I see it." Brothers and sisters, we are the church, and the church is to be the light individually and corporately. Covenant, we have said openly that we want to build a bigger table. Renovate the space, make more room, that the doors of the church are open. How bright is your light? Our text said, we're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, I'm not going to put you under a table or hide you under a bucket. I put you on a light stand for a reason. Shine. We need light bearers inside and outside this church, outside this building. Jesus seeks to transform all aspects of our world, and he uses us to do it. Jesus called, and our response is to shine. Now that he says, "I'm putting you on a light stand, and now that I've put you there, shine." Covenant, and those in attendance here, I'm asking you, let your light shine as nursery workers and Sunday school teachers. Our children need you. Let your light shine as musicians and preachers and teachers and poets and elders and deacons and trustees and ministry members and servants. The church needs you. Let your light shine as a faithful employee, kind neighbor, caring friend, ethical business partner, community leader, lobbyist, lawyer, politician. The world needs you. Let your light shine as a mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, or family member. The world needs you. Let your light shine by standing up for the poor, the hurting, the lonely, the sick, the marginalized, and the disabled. The world needs you. Let your light shine by demanding equality for all people, affordable health care, safe housing for the homeless, food for the hungry, and fair wages. The world needs you. Be Christ present with skin on, shining brightly, acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. The world needs you. In fact, just be these. Amen.